streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
It is 12:03. Welcome back inside the Gamecocks, the show from the Cinerama Studios and always built by the Barn Dominium Co., thebarndominiumco.com, building dream homes in the Carolinas, Georgia, and in Tennessee, one of the nation's most recognized and a nationally award-winning company, thebarndominiumco.com. Speaking of awards, and she doesn't like this, and I know that she doesn't, but we're going to start there so we can get it out of the way, and then we'll get into all the other stuff. Debbie keeps racking them up. She very soon, next week, I think, as a matter of fact, or the week after, the South Carolina Athletic Hall of Fame induction ceremony will be in Columbia. And in addition to all of this year's Hall of Famers, there are awards being given out. And the Herman Helms Excellence in Media Award will be received by Debbie Antonelli. And I'm going to just read this to make her even more, you know, uncomfortable. This was sent by Tony Schufo back in February. Mount Pleasant resident Debbie Antonelli began her renowned broadcast career in 1987 and has called women's and men's basketball games for ESPN, the ACC Network, the Longhorn Network, and the SEC Network, as well as CBS Sports, Fox Sports, Raycom Sports, the Big Ten Network, NBA TV, and the Westwood One. She has also served as a WNBA analyst with the Indiana Fever and the Charlotte Sting, and in 2017, she became the first female in 21 years to call an NCAA men's basketball tournament game and has occupied the role for Turner Sports and CBS ever since. Antonelli was a three-year starter at North Carolina State. She is a two-time Emmy Award winner and Gracie Award recipient for broadcast and was inducted into the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame in 2022 and the North Carolina Sports Hall of Fame in 2021. She was recently recognized as a recipient of the 2024 Kurt Gowdy Media Award and John Bunn Lifetime Achievement Award during the NBA All-Star Weekend. Debbie. I had to read it all because it's all so worthy, and now you've got another one coming. You're one of the best. You're one of the best people, but you get all these awards. I don't know what you do with all of them, but you deserve them all. Thank you. It's so good to see you, and we're going to talk so much about NBN in just a minute, but congratulations.
Wow, Jamie, thank you. When you put it all together like that, I don't hear it very often. So it's very nice of you to recognize it and thank the guys for the big smiles and everything. I mean, it's quite an amazing journey. It is crazy to think that my 36 plus years is being recognized for something I love and they pay me for it. So it's great.
That's right. It's always nice.
Well, they should, because you're phenomenal. Debbie, with broadcasters, I'm always interested when I listen to them in any sport, especially on cut when they're doing, when you've got the color analyst up there. Am I learning something? You know, like, is it good conversation, but am I learning something? And I can honestly say this You know, Billis is one. You always learn something from Jay when he's – Jimmy Dykes is another. He's phenomenal. Every time you speak, I learn something. I learn something new. And it's just such a pleasure. It's always so great to hear you call basketball games. You make it so much better.
Well, thank you for saying that, Jamie. I think that's the ultimate compliment for us that sit in that chair. You know, and Jay and Jimmy are two great examples of it. They work really hard. They do a nice job of educating and presenting. They're entertaining as well. And I'm just trying to follow along with what they do. And I love it. And I hope that always comes through. The thing that I always am chiefly responsible for is making sure that I'm fair, that I am unbiased, and that I have fun and, you know, do a good job of presenting. When coaches see me, I want them to think those things about me, that they know that I'll be fair. They know that it'll be equal and it will be fun.
Well, in addition to all of that, you've got an event coming up that you have. Wait a second here. Is this five straight years, Debbie, or four?
This is six.
Six. Yes, it is year six, because yes. I was at ESPN when you first started this. That's right.
It's wow. It's year six. We are set to cross $1 million for Special Olympics. It's not something I thought of or even believed. I was hoping the first year we could raise $25,000 for Special Olympics. I didn't know, Jamie, because you were there at the beginning. I didn't know if I could do it. I didn't know if anybody would watch. I didn't know if anyone would give. And now we've created this grassroots event for Special Olympics that has, you know, bled into other states and bled into other events. And we want it to be as much of a national brand as it can and raise as much money and awareness as we can for Special Olympics. It's awesome.
So on the Chief Sports app, we've made this very easy for everybody in support of Debbie. This event every year is called 24 Hours Nothing But Net, 24 Hours NBN.com. But if you pull up our app, there is a button right on the homepage. You can click the Donate Now button. You can click to go to the YouTube page and watch previous events. They have split that up into 3 and 4 hour sections and things like that. So you can go check it out. You can go right to the webpage and learn all about this. Debbie has been doing this pro bono, both in gyms and in your driveway. I know it's back in the driveway this year. Right. All right. So let's start with how you do it, because there's always somebody new every year. There's a lot of people that still are just new to this event. They don't know about it. So what do you do? Start from the process of the event, yeah, but then work backwards with how you train to get ready for it.
Well, thank you for putting it on the app. That's a big help. And if everyone would give me one penny for every free throw I make, that's $24 for Special Olympics. I make 100 free throws on the top of every hour for 24 straight hours. So at the end of 24 hours, I've made 2,400. Every penny goes to help the athletes train and compete and organize and socialize. All the money is directly benefiting the athletes themselves. We have five other states that have joined in with us. And in 5 years, we have raised a lot of money for Special Olympics. We're hoping to cross $1 million this year. We need everyone's help. I think everyone I know could give one penny. That's $24. If everyone can do that, it's been a very, very much a grassroots effort. I am in the driveway. We have quite a crowd. This year we'll have some bleachers brought in and we've got somebody cooking a pig. And it's really become a big event. We live stream it. So it takes me about 15 minutes to make 100. And then we have programming the other 45 minutes around each hour. And we pre-tape and interview guests. We have entertainment. We have some live check presentations. We have some live guests. We've got quite a list of celebrities that have joined us. And over the 6 years, we've just continued to grow the event. And the only thing I wish I had thought of it 10 years earlier, because the training's not getting easier. It's getting harder, but it's definitely worth it. The sweat equity in it, because of the amount of money that is being raised to help the athletes. So you can get past the hard part. The free throw burpee routine is something that I've been doing the last 3 years. It's challenging because it's not easy, but it also really helps me with the fitness part of it. And then there's, you know, the planks and the squats and the sprints and the weights. And then there's the actual shooting free throws, which is last on the list when it comes to getting ready. The rest of it requires incredible fitness. So I'm just the benefit for me is the fitness, but the benefit overall is the incredible amount of awareness and money. And the free throws are just, you know, part of the platform. They're not the story. The story is the amount of money for Special Olympics.
Right now, over 845 grand has been raised. You will get over $1 million this year. What's even more amazing about it, this is going to floor people. And that 1 year, I think it was, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was 97 or 98 1 year. But overall, in the last 5 years, your free throw shooting percentage is 94%.
Yeah, it's crazy to think it's such a high mark to set. I mean, I'm thinking about it in training just because it just sounds crazy. There are times in game when, as we know, college basketball free throw shooting isn't great. And there are times when teams have missed. I've had games where teams went 0 for 10 from the free throw line before they made one. I would nudge my partner and say, hey, do not give my free throw percentage on the air. I do not want to embarrass the kids. Because I am making at a high clip, but it's muscle memory and the ability to shoot the ball. And I'd like to say it's like riding a bike, but once you learn the skill and you've mastered it over time, and I've probably shot the ball a billion times, Jamie, you know, over my career, over all the years that I've been in the game and had a ball in my hands, and I still have a ball in my hands and I'm still out there shooting. So I say on the air, I'll shoot till your arm falls off when somebody gets hot. I'm literally doing that. And it's for a great cause.
So for those that don't know the burpee routine, what do you do?
So it's the bar that you put in your door frame to do pull-ups on. I put that in the driveway, and I do not put the push-up in this burpee, because what I do is I go free throw, burpee, free throw, burpee. I do 10 sets of 25 makes. If I miss the free throw, I still do the burpee. And it's a tough workout. I mean, it definitely helps me get ready. It's a great conditioning and fitness. It combines, you know, all the fitness things you need, plus shooting a free throw. I didn't want to just stand out there and shoot free throws. I needed a compound exercise to add, and I just created it. And it's been something that's interesting and different. It's allowed me to get into the gyms around the country while I'm traveling in the spring after the season's over with. I take my equipment with me, and I was at Clemson on Sunday, and they cracked the door of the practice facility, and they'll let me in, and they trust me. Go in there, use the machine, do whatever you need, and just close the door on your way out. It's nice.
It's incredible. Debbie Antonelli, the Hall of Famer of multiple Hall of Fames, and the creator of 24 Hours Nothing But Net, 24HoursNBN.com, or you can pull it up in our Chief Sports app. And Debbie, you can tell anybody you want to as well, if that makes it easier. Just download our app and then click the button.
Yeah, I saw it, Jamie. Your app is awesome. Yeah. Congratulations on all your success with the show to all you guys.
Well, we appreciate that.
Thank you.
So what specifically, if you can share any, has the money helped do for Special Olympics South Carolina over the last 5 years?
Yeah, so the money goes directly to the athletes for programming and for training and for competing. There is an event, the state games in South Carolina is one example. They have the state basketball games, and the games are called 24 Hours Nothing But Net. They're presented by our fundraiser. So that money is used to help the teams get there, help them play, compete. It's and practice in advance. It is awesome to watch all those athletes come together. There's also unified games. So there's a unified partner would be somebody that would be a neurotypical athlete with a Special Olympic athlete. And there's lots of games that are involved there, not just basketball. So that's the best part. It's not going to facility. It's not going to infrastructure. The money goes right to support the athletes, which is exactly the way I wanted it. And it's a great hook for people that want to do something to help someone else, because these athletes can't do this by themselves. They can't organize and they can't train and they can't compete by themselves. We can all go out in the driveway and do our own thing, or we can go down to the park. These guys need help doing it. And this is where the money goes.
One of the best athletes is a dude named Frankie. Why did you begin this? Why did you start doing this?
Yeah. And those that don't know our family story, I have my husband and I have three boys, and our middle son Frankie is a young man living with Down syndrome. I always say it doesn't define who he is. He's smart and handsome and athletic. He's got a lot of friends. He's very social. And Down syndrome is a part of who he is, not defining of who he is. But sport and Special Olympics has allowed him to learn like all the lessons that we all want to learn about being on a team, about healthy lifestyle choices, about why it's important to play sport. And it's given him incredible confidence, which has allowed him to go to Clemson. I know we're all Gamecocks here. Carolina Life does have a really good program. Frankie went to Clemson in their Life program. Life is an acronym. Learning is for everyone. Clemson has a wonderful program that is for people with people that want a post-secondary educational experience that have intellectual disability. And right now, Frankie is a young man living in Clemson independently with support. If anybody has seen the Netflix show Love on the Spectrum, his roommate is Tanner. Tanner is a character on the show. It is an incredible how the two of them navigate the world together with support. And he's working two jobs. He's got a job at a pizza place called Your Pie, and he works at the Shepherd Hotel, which is a hotel designed specifically at Clemson to have a transition from Clemson life right into a job. And in Columbia, they're getting a Shepherd Hotel as well, which will be tied into the Carolina Life program. So this is a new opportunity for people with intellectual and physical disability to get employment. And so for us, the next stage is that sport is always a part of what we're doing. But for us with Frankie, it's about independent living and about having employment. And he loves his jobs. He loves working, and he loves living at Clemson with his friends.
That's tremendous.
It really is. Debbie, is the Carolina Life program, is that new? I feel like Clemson was the only program for a while.
No. Carolina has had their program about the same amount of time that Clemson has had theirs. Their approaches are a little bit different in how they go about putting their programs together. But no, Carolina has a successful program. And I'm so proud of the Shepherd Hotel launching in the Columbia area. And I can just tell you, you know, like the other thing is I spent 3 years trying to get NC State, which is my alma mater, to create a program similar to what Clemson and Carolina have. It took 3 years of meeting with board of directors and trustees and stakeholders and people with money and influence at NC State. I met with deans on my own. I met with two different deans. But Clemson and NC State have identical land-grant missions, and Clemson was serving the population of their state, and I didn't think NC State was. So it allowed me to get into doors on campus at NC State that I hadn't been in. But two outcomes, January of 25, NC State will launch their program. The General Assembly of North Carolina appropriated $3 million this year, $3 million next year, which is something I'm really proud of. And also, I don't know if you know this, Jamie, but back in December, I delivered commencement at NC State, which was a real honor. The chancellor selected me for that. There's only been a couple of other athletes at NC State, you know, guys like Philip Rivers and Russell Wilson, you know, guys like that. And me.
How does a Philip Rivers commencement speech sound? He's all Alabama boy, you know. Hey, how y'all doing?
Yeah, I'm sure it was great. You know, and I'm sure Russell Wilson's was great also.
Yeah, but they couldn't outshoot you though. That's the problem for those guys. I mean, I don't know. And you still do your all girls sports camp in is it July? June?
Yeah,
July?
There's 3 weeks. One in June, one in July, one in August. Thank you for bringing that up too. Girls only sports camp. 100 little girls, 20 different sports, and the effort is in a peer pressure-free environment to introduce something new to them in sport that maybe they hadn't played before. Everybody has kicked a soccer ball and shot a hoop before, but not everyone's played rugby or got in the starting blocks or did the long jump. We introduce all these different sports to them, hoping that they'll find something that they like, that they'll pick up on and continue to play.
What is the minimum age requirement for that?
I'll take 5-year-olds if they've been to kindergarten and they don't whine.
I've got two of them. Would you? Because are you just making that accommodation for me? Or are you being serious?
No, I do have some 5-year olds. I love having. I want to introduce sport to every little girl. I do have 1 week of boys only. That's just to balance out the portfolio, if you will, right? So nobody gives me more time because I am a mom with 3 boys. But I do love introducing sport. It truly is one of the best things that we've created. We've had it for 8 years. This will be the 9th year. And like your niece, Hadley, she's a young woman who started out in the camp and probably will be working for me this summer. So that's the other thing that I love is that I've had all these young kids that have come through camp and they enjoy it so much they want to come back and work it. And that's a great compliment. And it's a fun week. It's a fun week for us. It's a fun week for the kids. And hopefully there's some great benefit down the road for parents.
You have so many tools, not to make this a personal conversation at all, but who she just mentioned, one of my relatives learned so much from your coaching and she's having a blast and she's becoming a good player. You coach, you give back to everybody. You don't ever ask for anything in return. We've got to find a way to continue to give something back. Before, do you have a couple minutes or are you tight?
Yeah,
or do you
no, I'm good. The only thing I ask in return is for a penny. Everybody for that.
We got you covered. We'll continue promoting this all the way through the event and afterwards because you can donate after the event as well, folks, just in case. But so the profile for basketball in this great state is raised by people like you. You go all over the country. You reference it often. And it's been raised even more this year based on what has transpired in Columbia, South Carolina, with Dawn winning another national championship and Lamont Paris showing up, bringing his brand and giving the men's program an identity that they kind of didn't have, Debbie, but they feel like they've got one now. I'll let you start anywhere you want to start with it, but basketball at Carolina right now is pretty good.
It's really good. And what did Lamont win? 27 games, 26 games? Yeah. I mean, I had a chance to see him a few weeks ago and spend a little time with him. He's amazing. I did cover his team when he was at UT Chattanooga, so I knew how good he was. That was my first encounter with him. But when you know his background, where he came from, how he grew up, who he's been exposed to, who he's learned from, where he's who he's mentored along the way, it's a long list of really great people. And I'm so happy for him that he could put together what he is able to put together. As you know, the landscape has changed significantly in the game. Free agency and pay for play is definitely a part of it, even though the NCAA doesn't like those terms. That is the street lingo, if you will. And he's done a remarkable job, and I don't see there being any drop-off at all. I see him continuing to do what he has done to be successful. I hope you've had him on. I mean, he's an amazing guy. He really cares. He's invested in making the game really grow, and he's invested in helping young men find what they want to do. And so in the scheme of what he does and how hard they play and some of the big wins they had this year, definitely deserve to be in the tournament and to have an opportunity to advance. And I'm excited for him and what he's got coming down the road.
You know,
one thing, if I can real quick, in this state, the issue has been guys staying home. On the men's side, we used to be on the women's side too, and Dawn changed that with that first group she had, the Asia Wilsons and had Feaster and Dozier. The men's side, it's been hit or miss. One thing I'm noticing, Debbie, and you know you've covered basketball in this state and this region for a long time, is it's been a quicker turn. Like all of a sudden, within a year after the season they had, you have Cam Scott, a 5-star player from Lexington, decommitting from Texas, coming with Carolina. You have Jordan Butler, a 7-foot-1 guy who didn't even really sniff Carolina, that went out to Missouri. He's coming back home. You have Pringle at Alabama coming back home to South Carolina. You have guys in the lower classes, not only for South Carolina, but North Carolina, committing. There's always been great basketball in South Carolina, but also right across the border. I understand, like, Kerry Rich, I know, has a lot to do with this as one of his assistants, but Lamont's personality seems to be more conducive to selling this program specifically than nothing against the other coaches that have been here, than maybe some previous coaches that were not as unique as he is.
Well, you're right about Carey. I would say that he has definitely had an influence. But then there's Lamont. And here's the one thing that you can't undersell is the fans. It's amazing. The Carolina fans have always supported. To me, it seems like through the history of Carolina sports, they have always shown up. And when you go into CLA, it's a great environment, men or women. It is definitely a unique setting because not everybody has it that good. And the facilities are great. The opportunity to compete in the highest level in the SEC is awesome. It's a challenge every night on the men's side, especially on the men's side. Like they are more balanced and more equitable across the national landscape than they've ever been in the SEC. And usually it's, you know, the league, you know, when Kentucky was down a little bit, people thought the league would be down. That's not the case anymore. I think Bruce Pearl's done a magnificent job. I think you can go right across the board. I mean, Mark Pope, I'm excited about him. I had them twice last year at BYU. Once was BYU in the Allen Fieldhouse upsetting Kansas, which never happens. And then the second was I had him in the tournament, and they did not play well in the tournament. But he's a heck of a guy, good coach. There's good people in the SEC, and they've made a point to try to win. And I think Ray Tanner did an excellent job hiring Lamont to this job. He's fantastic. Coach Paris is going to win a lot of games.
Very likable. We did have him on not long ago, and I want to shift over to Don and them real quick with you too. But I've mentioned this quote very often. Matter of fact, I just talked about this. I was on 107.5 on Monday morning, I think it was, up in Columbia, and they asked me about the transfers and stuff like that. Debbie, I'm no Debbie Antonelli, but I can refer to one quote that Lamont gave us when he was here. I asked him, I said, this portal, you know, you look at what Muss had at Arkansas, right? He brought in a bunch of players and it just didn't work this year. It did work. It worked the year before. It didn't work this year. How do you make it work in the portal era? You got new faces every year. And he said, and this, it's kind of a duh moment when you think about it, but it makes so much sense. He said, it's very important to us to recruit guys who our vision for them closely aligns with what they're seeking. Mm-hmm. And you don't just sign the best players to sign the best players. Like they have to be looking for what we have to offer. And if those two things align, then it will work out and it makes things easier to come together. I thought that was a brilliant comment because it's such a simple way of, that goes over our heads a lot in today's portal area. Everybody just wants to sign the best players.
Yeah. I think that's what I said, like helping guys do what they want to do, right? I mean, that's the whole mission. That's what you're supposed to be doing. That's what you get paid for initially, you know. But there's a whole other direction there that we could go about free agency without a salary cap and how they're going to fix that. The NIL space was designed for name, image, and likeness. It wasn't designed for a collective with a pot of money to be able to recruit players based on how much money you're going to pay them to come and, you know, do whatever they're going to do, right? I mean, don't you remember way back in the day where there used to be those jobs that you would get where your job is to water the field, but the field has automatic sprinklers with a timer, so you just sit there, right? You remember those? Like, that's sort of what – I don't think that's what it was intended to be. I think there's going to have to be some intervention to be able to get a cap. And if you can possibly do that without limiting free trade and all the things, I'm not smart enough to know all of it, but it can't continue this way because we're going to lose competitive balance very quickly. And it's going to be like what we're seeing in professional sports where you've got, you know, big market money and you got small market money. And I don't know how you're going to survive that model, especially with the way the landscape is. If we could find a way to cap the collective, if you will, and let the NIL grow as it grows, because that's legitimately how it's supposed to be made or put in place, I think we have a much better model and one that fans would enjoy more. But it's definitely has changed. There's no question about it. It's not going backwards. So you have to embrace it. And I think Lamont has embraced it. But I will say this to you also. I have had several Division I Power 5 men's coaches say to me, I wasn't trained to be a GM. I'm a coach. I don't know how to be a GM. I'm learning how to be a GM because that's essentially what they're becoming.
That's scary. And you're right. The haves and have nots, it's coming sooner than later if they don't get it fixed. I agree. You could, the folks that you know, in addition to yourself, y'all could probably spend 2 weeks on a show discussing this stuff and still not have the correct answer. But I would at least hope that people like the NCAA and others would be willing to listen to those who are in the fire every day, because they're the ones that are having to deal with it. All right, Debbie, are we?
I feel bad for the coaches, to be honest with you, Jamie. I mean, I do. I think, you know, the coaching profession is not what it was, you know, and every coach would just want to coach the game, coach their team. And now you've got all these variables that are a part of it. It's just a new landscape and they're all adjusting to it. Some are adjusting quicker than others, but it's where we are. And I don't know how you fix it. And, you know, you could put football into the equation and eventually the Power Four could become the Power Two. And, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of rumors out there about what could or could not happen. But the NCAA has so many lawsuits against it right now that trying to settle just the House versus the NCAA is an issue there. And there's, you know, retribution to be paid for. I'm wondering how far is it going to go back? Like, you know, not far back, not enough for me, because we never played on TV. So it's not going to get me. I wish, but it won't.
It's going to be about 20 million. Schools like NC State and South Carolina, about 20 million.
And then, you know, here's the other thing, too. I saw this recently. Not that we wanted to get into this, but I'll just say this.
No, you're kidding.
There used to be a time where athletics was self-sufficient and separate from the university in terms of the financials, right? Now, and there was a time where, let's say, just for example, in South Carolina, would be able to give money back each year to the university. Well, that's not happening anymore. Now it's the opposite. In the Power Four, there's probably a very small percentage, and I've seen this, where there are several schools that will not be able to give anything back to the university, but now the university is giving millions to cover the deficit in athletics because the deficit is multi-millions. I saw a number where Rutgers, for example, is like $60 million in the red that the university is going to need to cover for them for last year. It's then when you start talking about this and you go to a bigger level and then you start talking about the collectives and what the players are getting, because as a donor, you're deciding, do I want to give the money to the athletics and do I want to give the money to impact winning immediately on the football team?
Well, and they all, they don't, I don't think they want it this way. But, and JC can speak to this more than all of us, of course, but they're all directly / indirectly competing with each other for the same goal. I mean, you know, the university, for our sake, University of South Carolina asked for donations to be in the Gamecock Club so you can get tickets, yada, yada, yada. They take that money, they fund scholarships, they fund facilities, et cetera, et cetera. And then you got collectives to go essentially buy players. And they're directly competing for the same purpose. It's hard to, yeah, I'm with you.
Well, what's going to have to happen is you're going to need, there's going to be some schools. Maybe it's Arkansas this year in men's basketball, because that number is out there in public. Maybe it was Texas A&M in football a couple of years ago, because I know that caused a lot of people to go, whoa, wait a minute. Or you're going to have a school that spins through the nose. And the reality of the fact that college athletes, unlike pro athletes, are not finished products. They have to develop. Mm-hmm. And I think it is very hard for a young person. This is why child actors don't always become Marlon Brando, or maybe they do. I don't know. But you get that kind of fame and money that early, and it's not necessarily earned. It's basically based on your potential. You know, you're not going to work as hard. And that will cause you not to win quicker than anything. You have all the talent in the world. If you can't be coached, if you can't work on your game on your own, if you're not independently motivated, you're not going to be very good. And unfortunately, that's what's going to have to happen, because you're not going to legally be able to put a cap on it because of how our system, our capitalist system and our country is set up and our courts are set up right now. They will lose every single time. What's going to happen is some restraint where schools are like, okay, we're going to give you, you know, because of this lawsuit now, you get your name, image, and likeness deal through our TV deal. And here are the parameters, or you don't get it. And then, you know, somebody asks for something egregious more. Sure, you could pay it, but you got to walk away. And everybody's got to kind of have an agreement. Like, we're going to walk away from this ridiculousness. We're going to have an open conversation about true value, the value of the player versus the value of these brands that have been around for 125 years, which is what draws the fans in, which is why it's popular, because it's an affinity product that people have grown up around. College sports is different than pro sports. It's more about the name on the front than the back as far as why fans love it. And so there's going to have to be like a, I think, a big conversation like that. Unfortunately, it's unless Congress acts, which good luck.
Yeah.
They're legally, it's just hard. It's hard to do. Everybody's between a rock and a hard place. So I think you guys make great points about it. And I just think common sense is going to have to prevail at some point. And I got my fingers crossed it will.
When's that going to be?
There's all kinds of labor issues here. There's employment issues here. You know, is that going to happen? There are, there's fair market value. There's free trade. There's collusion. You know, like, we're talking about all this stuff that's on the table right now in college athletics. It's really interesting. I'm all for the players getting a chance to get name, image, and likeness, but I don't want the collectives to, for example, on campus, take away the what I would call the non-student participation sports, meaning, you know, golf and tennis. Students don't go to those games. They don't go to watch tennis matches. The regular student body goes to football. They go to basketball. They go to volleyball matches. They go to baseball games. But do they go to the other things? Because I think that's what's going to happen. And then there's a Title IX issue. Yep. You know, 180 football players is a lot of football players to have on your roster. You know, in the NFL, what do they have? 57. You know, so I mean, it's just there's a lot of things here that are in discussion, and you don't want to limit anybody's opportunity, but you got to have some sort of salary cap.
Yep. Well, the best
example. This time here in college athletics is I should have gone to law school. that's what I call this time period.
I could solve a lot of problems had I gotten smarter with school. Yeah, and the perfect example of NIL are some of the young ladies that play for Dawn. You know, Malaysia Full Wiley, for instance, she's going to be a star. She's already, you know, beginning to bring in the NIL deals. Clearly, the rest of the country, we all saw what Caitlin Clark and some of these other young ladies have been able to achieve. So, Debbie, are we still on the Sweet 16 to Vegas train for women's basketball?
Man, are you kidding me? I've been on that train for 15 years.
Yeah.
And you can see why. And look what the landscape in Vegas has become for sport. I hate to say it, but of all the things that we've talked about, I was way ahead of that. Way ahead.
Yep.
I thought our game needed an ultimate wow or a pop or a change. And you know what? We actually did get one. It came in the form of Caitlin Clark, which I call Clarkonomics. And the other rookies in this WNBA class are really good, including Camila Cardoso, who right now is hurt with a shoulder injury. But she'll have definitely have an influence and a factor on Chicago Sky. But yes, I mean, Clarkonomics. That's what it is. It is one woman's brand, NIL, and her exposure on top of her skill set. She only broke 45 records when you count Iowa, Big Ten, NCAA. I mean, we've never seen anyone like her inside the NIL space at the same time with social media. So the confluence of those things coming together has really lifted our game. And that doesn't diminish what Angel or Camilla or Cameron Brink or any of the others have done. It actually helps from a rising tide situation. And the only thing that I'm looking at is the color green right now, because everyone's going to benefit from what we've seen this year in women's basketball and the huge amount of attention that Caitlin Clark has drawn to the game.
Yeah, we referenced you a few weeks ago. We were talking about the Sweet 16 to Vegas and made mention of the fact that if it was there, how much the sport of basketball, the whole sport, not just women's, I'm talking about the entire sport of basketball, could have benefited from all of these superstars and super teams. The Gamecocks were the super team, of course, but there were so many superstars. If they would have been in that bubble on that stage in Las Vegas, as good as everything was, all the ratings, it was is the best we've ever. We probably you. I don't know why I'm talking. You are the women's basketball star. You played the game in the 80s in NC State, and here we are, 37 years later, Debbie. Look what it's become.
You know, I know I've said this a lot. It's about damn time, right? Because I have been in the trenches. There's a lot of us that have been working the game. I remember calling games when they could hear you on the free throw line. And so that means there's no one there. And so I'm just so proud of all the effort and others, not just me, but that the stick-to-itiveness that has allowed us to keep fighting and pushing and keep doing the same things we've been doing over and over. To try to help the game grow in advance. And here we are. I mean, we're sitting on top of what could be an incredible movement. I don't think it's a moment. I definitely think the LIV Tour was an incredible disruptor to the USGA and the PGA. That has turned out to be something that has benefited the players. I think that's what Caitlin has done. It is a definite disruptor in our game when we needed it. And I was looking for this disruption 15 years ago. 15 years ago, Jamie, the Raiders weren't there. There was no NHL. You know, the NCAA had not acknowledged that there were postseason tournaments being held there, although they would not allow a championship to be there. There's so many things in so many spokes in that wheel that I talked about for a long time. But quite honestly, there's more to the story, and I don't want to get fired, so I'm not going to say anything more to it.
The aces draw really well, too.
The aces are incredible, back-to-back champions. As a matter of fact, I am going to be out there on our ESPN coverage on May 14th, opening night, Phoenix versus Vegas. I get to call that game. I'm so excited about going there. And then I will have 22 games with the Indiana Fever. And I have been with the Fever for 18 years, and we had a little sabbatical for economic reasons, but Clarkonomics is one of the reasons why I get to come
back. Wow. And, so you were with the Fever before, and then just so happens now that this has happened to them. You're back in the saddle. That's awesome.
With the Fever for Tamika Catchings, her run through the W. How great is that? Like, I feel so blessed. The Fever had recognized, and they are able to capitalize on what they have in back-to-back number one draft picks, including Aaliyah Boston and Caitlin Clark. This is a team that hasn't made the playoffs since 2016 when Tamika Catchings retired. They got a real opportunity here, and they know it, and they're capitalizing on it. So we're not just doing 6 or 8 home games. We're doing a handful of home games, and we're traveling. So I'm excited about it, and every arena we go in will be sold out.
It's rockstar city. There's
great storylines around the W this year.
Yeah, it's going to be a banner year in the WNBA, I think. And Caitlin's one thing, but it only helps everybody else too, because there's other great players. She's obviously a superstar, and she's one that I will call generational. I think people use that term too much, but she is generational. But I think it's just great when fans show up in any sport. It's sad when they don't, because a lot of people put a lot of work into whatever, whether it's broadcasting or playing or coaching or, selling popcorn. It's sad when people don't show up. So I think that's great. That makes me – I'm going to have to tune in this summer.
Debbie, Victoria Saxton is still with the Fever too, right?
I'm not sure she's still on the roster right now. I have to go. I'm not sure.
Okay. All right. Well, I was going to say that if she is, that's two Gamecocks here with Caitlin Clark. All right, so do us a favor, and you don't have to publicize it, because I know you don't want to make the players look bad, but if you and Caitlin maybe could do a little behind the scenes free throw contest one day, just text me and let me know who wins. Cause I'd like to see if she can beat you. I don't know.
Caitlin is a great personality, and I have enjoyed every conversation. And I'm not going to say I was there at the beginning, but I was there towards the beginning of her celebrity. And there is this one particular photo. I'm trying to find it right here. I want to show it to you guys because I when I am with my team, including Hadley, I show them this picture right here, and I say to them, who do you think taught her how to shoot?
Have they bought it? Have they bought that?
They, I think some of them might have. But okay. So I'm joking around. Like that's a picture from that's either her, I think that's her freshman or her sophomore year when I was on the floor messing with her. But let me say this about Caitlin, because I you know, sometimes you just get lucky, right? And you're in the right spot at the right time. I had a day off in between games, and I had a game at Iowa State. So I went early to Iowa, and I went to practice. And Lisa Bluter has been a person I've known for 30-plus years. And I was in the gym with Caitlin in Carver Hawkeye for 2 hours, videotaping different conversations with her around the game. Like, why is the outlet pass important? Why do you play off 2 feet? Show me about your range. Tell me about the fans. Tell me about why you love the game. It was an incredible 2 hours, just the two of us in the gym. And I know that would never happen now because she is way too busy. But I cherish that time because it helped me build a good relationship with her. And it was before everyone else jumped on. And I'm glad I had a chance to do that. And let me say this, because we didn't get to talk about Dawn yet. I mean, let me just say this, Jamie, because I know you got to go. But look, Dawn is everything that you would want in a person to coach and represent basketball. She has achieved at the highest level as a player. She's one of the great point guards of all time, and she has cemented her legacy as one of the great coaches of all time. She's in Naismith as a player, but she could go to Naismith as a coach, and I think that might happen for her one day, and I think you know, for somebody who didn't want to be a coach and didn't set out to do that, she's been an incredible teacher all along, and she's got a dynasty, and they are fun to watch.
Maybe get Dawn on the Sweet 16 to Vegas thing. Things tend to work out when she speaks up, as I think as we figured out over the years. Yeah, it's incredible. It was incredible to watch them go undefeated. It was incredible to watch the entire women's basketball season. There were so many storylines. Debbie, I had somebody say to me, who's not even a fan of basketball, not even a basketball fan, and we happened to catch up. I was fishing with my daughters that day in a pond around the corner from our house, and he said, I can't wait to watch the Iowa-LSU game tonight. And I looked at him. I said, women's basketball? I didn't know you watched basketball. He said, I don't. But I can't wait to see these girls play.
Yeah.
You know, it brought in an entire new community of people. And of course, Dawn has heavily helped in that over the years, as sure. We all know.
Yeah.
It's just in such a special place. People like you make it even more special. So,
well, I got to be there at the beginning when Dawn was hired and called the games early on and watched her growth through the years. And I feel fortunate to be able to share that. I think that's part of the responsibility as a stakeholder. It's kind of like going to Iowa on a couple of days off. I went for the game in the football stadium. I went when she crossed Lynette Woodard's record. Those weren't things that ESPN sent me for. I went on my own. And just like being there in the arena when Dawn was getting started and watching those early teams and seeing what it has become, and none of that surprises me. Just because of the competitive nature with which Dawn does everything in her life. So I'm excited for watching them continue to grow. Of course, you mentioned Malaysia Fulwiley. She's one of those rookies that we had in the NCAA this year that was a freshman who was part of a stellar class of young players that people we have more household names than we've ever had. So that's a good thing.
It's a great thing. You got something, JC, real quick for you?
Oh, no, I was just going to add a packed bar on a Sunday in Chicagoland, and the audience was 98% male. My normal Bears crew watched packed it for South Carolina, Iowa. I didn't realize that Big Ten fans were like SEC fans, and they kind of pull for the Big Ten no matter what. So I was quickly shouted down, only Gamecock in there. But yeah, I mean, these guys are like your rough and tumble, you know, Bears, Bulls, you know, Blackhawks, Chicago. And they're like, I just want to see this girl play. She's special. Iowa's special, you know, and went on and on. But they got into the game, and they didn't just talk about Caitlin. They talked about the other players in South Carolina and the girl that – I forgot her name – that plays really good defense for Iowa, the other guard. And, oh, she's tough, you know. Gabby. That kind of engagement, I think, just as someone that's covered sports for 20 years, that means you were that kind of granular engagement at a bar in Homer Glen, Illinois.
That shows me you're.
That's what we want, JC.
Starting to become part of it. Starting to become part of the conversation. So that's that was awesome. And I'm glad I'm a South Carolina fan, because if the sport's going to rise, my team, I mean,
it's a good time to be on top.
If you've ever spent any time around Dawn or any of her players, you can see they're all on the same page. You know, it's a really great, it's just a great story. And of course, going undefeated in today's game is really tough to do. And, you know, if you think about it, she has three. She could have had five, you know, because Aaliyah missed a layup in the Stanford game. And then the year before that, they were undefeated and the tournament was canceled and they had a good chance of winning that. So, you know, it's if or what, you know, and Dawn is going to have another team that's going to compete next year. So it'll be fun.
Every year. Debbie has paid tuition at three schools, the University of South Carolina, Clemson University, and Emory and Henry. Congratulations to Patrick. I think I saw that he graduated.
Yes, thank you.
And played basketball up there. And I think he's a career like 50% shooter. I wonder where he gets that from. So hats off to him. I look forward to seeing him. We'll swing by your house. Can you drop some names for special guests on the broadcast this year? Nothing but net.
No, Roy Williams was in my driveway last year. I don't know if he'll show up again, but we'd love to see that. And then, of course, Coach K is always gracious with an interview. He always just gives us his time. And then, you know, all the sports celebrities across the landscape of South Carolina. We've had a lot of good guest coaches. Dabo, we had him on already. We're working on getting Shane. It's been great how much everyone wants to be a part and help us. And I'm grateful for all of that.
24hoursnbn.com. Put that into your phone. And if you don't want to, you've got our app in your phone already. So pull it up. It is right there at the top. We've pinned it at the top. You can donate. You can watch live next weekend, May 18th and 19th from Debbie's driveway. You can go to the Special Olympics website. You can go to the 24hoursnbn website. You can contact Debbie there if you've got questions, even sponsorship opportunities. Like to get involved somehow. She's open ears with everybody. So if somebody can help, she listens.
Help us.
Yep, that's right. Debbie, I think I had you slotted for like 20 minutes.
Sorry, Jamie.
No. I don't mean that that way.
The hour. No.
No. Are you kidding me? What else are we going to talk about? I mean, it is such an honor always, number one, to be a friend of yours, but always to have you on. You have great insight and everything. And for those that haven't been able to figure this out in the last 54 minutes, Debbie spends about 99% of her life doing something for somebody else. And the other 1%, she spends sleeping. That's it. That's kind of how it works with Debbie. So we're always so gracious we're always so thankful. You're so gracious with your time. And we'll continue to promote this through right on through the event and on after that. And I can't wait to hear the moment when you know you've got there. The $1 million moment. Yeah. I cannot wait for that.
I don't think I've processed it yet. You know, I'm still in the journey of trying to get ready and trying to make sure we have every detail crossed. But Jamie, you know, because you were there at the very beginning when we first started. So you've been able to watch us create this incredible environment. So thank you for that. And thank you for sticking with us and believing in everything when I was beating down your door to try to get on your show so we could talk about it. So thank you so much for inviting me, and good to see you guys too, Phil and JC. You guys look like you're ready to kill it today. So have fun the rest of the show, and thank you for having me on.
We've got another great voice. Derek Scott is coming up here in a minute. Another great voice of the Gamecocks. So looking forward to that. You saved my life because you were with me in the ESPN studio when I got the call we were going to the hospital. I thought I was going to have a heart attack. And you kept me calm.
Goodbye. You got to go right now. Forget the show.
That's right. You kept me calm. I'll never, ever, ever, ever forget that moment. Thank goodness it was you. Debbie, we'll see you next week. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
There you go. The great, fantastic Debbie Antonelli, 24hoursnbn.com. 24hoursnbn.com. So, guys, I'm really sorry we blew through some commercial breaks, but...
It's worth every penny.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a good cause too. I mean, it's, you know,
I've got my
$24 ready.
After her last appearance, I was like, listen, please follow up with us. Make sure you get in touch with us because we will promote the hell out of your event.
Yeah, it's up on the app.
And
like, I'm not a big charitable, like, I'll give, like, at the gas station and stuff. You know, they have the dollar, give a dollar for children's whatever. I'll give. I'm a very generous person, but I don't have, like, people have lifelong affiliations with the cause they believe in or whatever. If there was one, it would be Special Olympics. I have a really big heart for that. And when I retire, I think that's something me and the missus are going to get involved with, for real, volunteering and time.
If you get your house down here, I know who to connect you with.
Exactly.
All right, 12:57, Derek Scott ahead in just a couple of minutes. Carolina, Georgia, Founders Park tonight. We'll be right back.
The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create an affordable price just for you.
Contact local agent Gary Patterson for your personal price plan today.
Touchdown Brewer. Set up the screen and it goes to Brewer. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown Brewer, his second of the day. Pitches it to Brewer. Turns to Cody. Touchdown, number 3 of the afternoon.
Hey, folks, it's Mike Morgan for Ryan Brewer Fence. That's right, you know the former Gamecock legend as a terrific college football player. Well, I know him as that, too. I also know him as the guy that runs a great business, one of the best businesses in South Carolina. How do I know that? Well, for one, I'm actually a client of Ryan's. I had my home in Columbia done years ago, and his crew did an outstanding job, just as he does for everybody else. Whether you're in the market for a fence, railings, columns, or anything in between, their craftsmanship, their experience, and service second to none. Ryan Brewer Fence has over 15 years of experience with consultation and installation of residential and commercial fencing and railings. Rest assured, your job will be done with an unparalleled level of expertise, and it's done on time, and they do it right the first time. Again, you're not going to do any better than Ryan Brewer. Ryan Brewer Fence, the website is ryanbrewer.net. Set up an appointment today. Tell them Mike sent you.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
My company is Billy G's Carolina Barbecue. We are based in Columbia, South Carolina. And we have two lines of sauces and a spice rub. I mean, when people try our product, they know it's a gourmet product and it can go on any type of food. It's not surprisingly delicious. It's expectedly delicious.
Oh, man. The building is on fire.
Emergencies and accidents happen. When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you, guiding you through the process and working with you to get your home or office back in working order. They'll answer your questions, discuss procedures, and can act as your advocate when it comes to processing your insurance claim. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. Quality that is guaranteed.
The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create an affordable price just for you.
Contact local agent Gary Patterson for your personal price plan today.